Hello, welcome to another really cool bake show. Yes, we're here, we're back. Another week has gone by. I don't know where it went. I was like, wasn't like Friday just yesterday? And it's already Thursday again, Thursday evening. But yeah, I am Patrice. I'm the interim host because the interim host today had parents' duty basically to take care of. Jeff had to take care of his parents. They're still recovering. And well, the actual host, I don't know, say well again. Don't know where Ewan is, what he's doing, but he'll be back at some point. And with me, I have of course a really cool panel as always, and I'm gonna start from the top from my perspective and start with our US correspondent Tom. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, Patrice. I didn't. I love the new title. I'll take it.
Right now, I'm not so sure.
I'm yeah, maybe not former U.S. correspondent.
Maybe.
I'm just a little depressed. I had kind of a difficult thing happen this week. So I had knee surgery 2 weeks ago. I went for my first physical therapy session on Monday. And I explained to the young woman, she told me I need to build up my muscle and work on the flexibility as things heal. And I said, yeah, I go to the gym 5, 6 times a week. I do leg presses, ride the bike, do all these leg exercises. And she goes, great. And she set up exercises for me. And I th think the best way to describe the style of exercise is old man exercises. It's all these
Chair
really
yoga.
simple. Yeah, really simple things. Sit in a chair and stand up. Do it 10 times, 3 times a day. And I looked at her and I said, I go to the gym, I leg press like 170
You
pounds. I
go, you
do.
stand up 10 times a day, like 50,000 times a day.
Of course they have a website, a service where they can pick out particular exercises for you, and it has a little video and description. And the people, the models in every one of my exercises are 70 plus years old.
Oh
I'm like, oh, I'm old, I'm so old. But
That
this
time
young
has
woman who's
come.
trying to help me out, all I look like is an old man.
No, you have to. Well, I mean, from their perspective, I mean, how old were they?
She was probably 25,
Yeah,
yeah.
okay. Then you are an old
Yeah,
man.
you are
I am
hundreds
an
of old.
old woman.
Hundreds of years old. Hundreds of years
I am an
old.
old woman. I mean, it's like.
Right. Anything
No, but I
over
mean,
40 is
look
old
at
to
it this
them.
way. I mean, compared to the picture in the video, you're a young whippersnapper.
I do. I look really young compared to them. That's okay. Good point. Now I feel better.
And now get off their lawns,
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, good, good. Good
Anyway,
to hear that you're
I
doing well, so.
thank you. I probably won't be going back to that PT place. I think I'm good.
No. It's not, if it's not useful, then it's a waste of time. So
Right.
just and money.
And money.
Speaking of time and money, no, I don't know how I got there. We have our British, to our token Brit as always. We have our British correspondent, Ian.
Token
How are you
Brit.
doing?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. It's been a quieter week this week. I'm not so much training, but on the other hand, there's meetings to take its place. So you get away from one thing and only to find there's something else. But
Tell me about it.
there we go. But on the upside, I've managed to talk IT to get me a new laptop, so I'm looking forward to
Nice.
that. I'll get a Mac, a new MacBook with 24 gig and M4 Pro thing, whatever. But I'll find out when it arrives what they're getting me. I may find out I'll get a recycled 10-year-old one. Who knows?
They give you an old Intel
Oh no, Intel Mac. I'm talking with RAM.
MacBook
But yeah, I don't know. We'll find out
Pro.
anyway. I've talked to IT to give me a better one. So let's see what happens with that one. That's a good result. And yeah, no, it's just been a one of those weeks. I'm starting to get into, and we're planning for our next quarter's worth of training. So I'm start we well, we got a couple of new ideas for new classes to build. So it ever gets, it's all good fun. Keeps me busy, keeps me out of trouble. Walking the streets otherwise.
Yeah, I mean that's. I think that's also a good change sometimes to just do the planning and like have a little bit of an
Yeah,
outlook what's gonna happen
bit of
next.
talent. Yeah, you kind of got You've got to kind of do that stuff at the end, sort of make sure you know what you're doing.
Exactly. So good to see you're doing well. I just noticed that we have today, and it's a rare occasion, we have basically three different countries and three different people. Usually there's at least two Americans or something, but right now it's literally, I think, I mean, you could even say through three different islands, kind of, if you think about it. So interesting. Only two continents, though. Even though the UK don't think sometimes they're part of the continent, they still are.
We still own
Technically,
all of
still
it.
are.
Technically, we own all of it still. You know, it's just how it is.
Technically, still are. Good.
Technically, it's still ours.
Speaking of technically tech, of course, big show, we're going to talk about some tech. So who has the first story for us to talk about this nice
There
Thursday?
we go. Look at
And
this.
that's, of course, always Ian, Fast Fingers. We have, let me click on that. I have a
So,
BBC
my.
story.
It's a BBC story. You can probably get this from a million news sources today. Given things that happened in the world, US is starting to increase tariffs. China's increasing tariffs. All things are changing. As a consequence, we're starting to see knockdown into the tech industry. So the latest trade things of Trump's latest changes means that potentially cheap electronics will no longer be cheap electronics. I mean, I know what the idea is to encourage more manufacturing in the US and everything else, but there's got to be a point between the two, of course. And we now look at, I mean, yeah, I'm trying to be charitable.
You got it, yes.
I'm trying to be charitable.
Yes.
And I mean, we're starting to feel some amounts of randomness for this.
Yeah.
And
I mean, for me, the first question is, you say cheap isn't cheap anymore. I don't know. I mean, 25% tariff on a $2 like cable is 50 cents. So like it's 250 now. Wow, big deal.
but all these little they but it's that
Yes.
increment. It's not
Yes.
250 on a dollar worth. It's the
Yeah.
incremental changes that start building things up, and it's also the cost of the raw materials that are then
That's
taken
true.
that
Yes.
go in to make something that might be made indigenously in the States.
Yeah,
There's
it
still the raw
starts to add
materials might
up.
be sourced from all over the place, and if so, all of those things are going to have a knock on in terms of the retailer being able to get and make a decent return. So depresses the market. You know, it's all a difficult thing to start looking at. And
Yeah, and I mean,
I'm
I think tariffs as a negotiating idea is always a bad
novel.
idea.
Yeah, I mean, we would need an economist here to explain to us whether tariffs ever work on anything, because I'm not so sure about that. I mean, they have, I think they have their purposes sometimes when you wanna, like, when you wanna protect your local, like, economy, or even, like, I mean, like, one example, so, like, tariff on Chinese cars. I can understand that. I'm like, hey, like, they're government subsidized cars, and it's just, I mean, it's probably a stupid example, and someone will tell me why this is wrong, but it's like, okay, government subsidized cars, really cheaply produced, it's hard to compete against that. And so sometimes it's okay to say, hey, well, we should at least make up for the unfair advantage that maybe the other, like, product has, strengthen our own economy. But the way it's being used right now is, yeah,
Yeah, that's not how they're
interesting.
being used now. And I think people always say, well, China is funding this or that industry. And then people remind them, yeah, what kind of tax breaks does Ford
Yes.
get for building a new plant in
Oh.
Texas?
Yeah, Amazon for their new headquarters somewhere. Like, or another
Happens
warehouse.
all the time.
Yes, it's all the
Intel,
time.
all the
Yes. No.
semiconductor
Yeah.
companies gets
Yeah, I
that.
mean, a lot of that's people like Foxconn as well, making stuff. So it's still a Chinese company, essentially. It's a separate contractor. I mean, that's our favorite fruity themed toy maker makes them. You know, Apple. That's what they do there. I mean, they made a statement saying they were pushing 500 billion into the economy or whatever else. But that's smoke and mirrors, really, because it's just the way they work. It's not that they're still spending what they'd spend any other year, with a little increase here and there. And it sounds like we're putting loads of money in the US economy. Not really. But it's But it's they're playing the game, aren't they, after all?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. And to some extent, all, pretty mo all or most countries do something like that, where they incentivize certain things by, as I said, giving tax breaks or whatever. So for sure, as I said, but it's still, I can still understand. Actually, then I can doubly understand to say, well, if we want to protect that investment in our own, like our own manufacturing capabilities by, yeah, at least, as I said, maybe making up for the advantage that another country has, so it's at least competitive. Okay, fine. I mean, I'm pretty sure economists will argue about that, and is it good or bad? I don't even know. But I at least from a layman's perspective, laywoman's perspective, I can understand that.
I'm sure there are several cases where economists would point out that tariffs
Yeah,
were good for an
I hope so.
economy and were
Yes.
fair. I think in the US, everybody is pointing to what Herbert Hoover did when he was president in the 20s that helped accelerate the depression, and that was a clearly bad use of tariffs. Anyway, we're
I mean,
not, as you said, we're
any
not
tool can be
economists, so
used. Exactly. And we would need Bob Beach for that. No, any tool
yeah,
can
we
be
need
used for
Bob.
good or evil, like for sure. I mean, that's also, and like sometimes you might use it with good intentions and it backfires and stuff like that. It's never, the world is never as simple as you think. Yeah.
Right.
But I think, yeah, it's still gonna be very interesting where this goes and what effects that has. I mean, I just can't believe that any manufacturing will be moved. I think it's just the
No.
prices are going to increase. And maybe, as Ian said, maybe that means, I mean, that is something we've been seeing, right? We have and sometimes good products, but very often kind of also a lot of crappy products. The Temu of the world and the
Yeah.
others, where it's like everything is super, super cheap and badly made and lasts about 5 seconds, and once you take it out of the box, it basically already disappears. I think that is maybe a net a positive thing also for the environment and so on.
Yes, the idea we can eventually start throwing less plastic shite away, that we don't
Would be
actually, I
good.
mean, it's my thing. If you've ever, when we do our shows in the summer, we talk about different things. One of the things is disappointing tech. And I often talk about the white box of disappointment. The idea you buy,
Yes.
you see something on Amazon, you think, oh, that's cheap.
Yes.
Oh, that could be
Yeah.
really good, and it's not very
I'll
much
buy
money.
three of them.
I'll have one of those. I'll
For
have one of
sure.
those. That can't, and it appears, if whatever this thing was you saw appears in a white box
Yes.
unmarked,
Yes. And
it
it's
will be
only the
crap.
left shoe, the left
Yeah,
boot.
it's going to be crap. I guarantee you it's going to be crap. That's
Or a
been my
watch that only
experience.
lasts that is wrong the entire time and only lasts like half a day.
It's one of those watches that's only right twice a day.
Yeah, it could be. No doubts. No,
But
you're
yes.
absolutely right. I was actually thinking like a third direction where this could lead. I mean, there is in science fiction a lot of theories about programmable matter, replication technology, whatever you want to call it, like things like that. And I'm kind of thinking, because sometimes constraints like that also foster innovation. Or okay, if the cheap stuff is not available anymore, or stuff is more expensive in general, then there's a chance for someone to do something about it and
Absolutely.
say, hey, like, okay, now that I don't have to compete with the whatever $2 cable because the cheapest one is $8, I can figure out a $7 cable that is produced locally, right?
That might actually push innovation back and a return to, I mean, I don't know how Germany and Austria are in terms of local manufacturing or whether it
Yeah,
is,
it's crap.
has it
They're closing
disappeared? Has,
factories left, right, and center
yeah,
everywhere.
has it, in the
Yes.
same way
Yes.
here, our industrial heartland, Bristol, not Bristol, but Birmingham and Birmingham and
Oh, yeah.
Sheffield and places like
Yeah.
that, those were the industrial heartland of the
They
country. And
were, yeah.
those are a shadow of the former self. The garment trade's still there and a few other bits are still there, but it's still
Yeah.
a shadow of its former self in
So,
terms of
So
making
think of
sensible.
the recent example of what you're talking about, Patrice, with DeepSeek. They didn't have access to all the
Yeah. Oh, true.
high-end
Yes.
NVIDIA GPUs. They didn't have access to CUDA.
Yeah.
And they basically, with those constraints, they innovated ways to work around and did a pretty
Yes.
good
Yeah.
job.
Yeah.
Very
I
good
mean,
point.
what's the they always say, what's the worst thing you can like give to someone, like if they want to invent something, no constraints.
Right, you got to give them
Like you need
constraints.
constraints so that you have something that you can work around or like push you to think outside of the box. If you have no constraints, like you're never going to get anywhere.
Yeah,
Yeah, it's.
you get fat and lazy if you have no constraints, right?
Yeah.
You do.
Literally,
Maybe literally, I don't know.
literally. Yeah, look at our countries right now. Actually not, I think you're not far off, to be honest. If I look at what's going on right now. No, it's like, yeah, it will be interesting to see. I mean, my prediction is still it's not gonna last very long because that's a tactic that's not gonna work very well, especially once people start feeling it.
Well, it's kind of like the weather in England. Just wait a few moments, and the tariff
Look, that's
situation.
something
The
different,
rain will be
guys.
back. No,
Yeah.
we've actually had a
Tariffs are
day.
on. Tariffs are off. Tariffs are on.
Yes.
Tariffs are off.
We've had a day like that here, where we looked out the window. At one point, there was sun. We looked out the next minute, and there's sleet. And then we looked out the next window, and it's something else. So it's completely going every which way it feels like today. So yeah,
And that's kind
completely.
of, I think, what's happening here. But as I said, it will be interesting to keep an eye on that. The markets are quite strongly reacted to that, right, at the moment. Like
Yes, that's the other kind of knock-on
Markets
effect,
don't
isn't
like
it?
uncertainty.
Exactly. I mean, the S&P 500, for example, since about a month has gone down from, what was it, 6,150. Now we're at about 5.5, 5,500, five, yeah, 550, basically.
Yeah, it's
So,
down 6% year to
yeah,
date.
yes. So stuff like that. I mean, yeah, it goes up, it goes down, but the reaction of the market is pretty clear on this one that they don't like uncertainty. They don't like not making all the money. Hindering any hindrance to growth is always a bad thing because and infinite growth on a finite planet is absolutely something we do.
Yes, because we want all the money now.
Yes. So we'll see. We'll see about what happens at the end. Good. Yeah, let's talk about something else. Fast through the stories, but we have a new CEO, Tom.
Yes, we do. So I want to revisit our 2025 prediction episode
Okay.
because I'm going to do some of the homework for you today, Patrice.
Should I open the
One of my
document?
pre one of my predictions was a new Intel CEO will not be announced before March 30th, 2025. And
Well,
on March 12th,
bang.
Intel announced a new CEO, so it's close but
Oh
no
my God.
cigar.
Who would have predicted that? Yeah, I didn't think that would happen.
I came so close.
Yes, you
Anyway,
did.
yesterday Intel announced Lip Bu-Tan as
You
the new
actually said April
CEO.
30th, by the way, so it wasn't as close.
Did I?
Yes,
Oh,
I have it in a
I
document. I
pushed it
just
out.
opened it.
I
April
wrote
30th.
it down.
But
Okay,
either
sorry
way,
about
it was then even then, this doesn't matter.
that. So Intel named Lip-Bu-Tan as their CEO. They've been without a CEO since they fired Pat Gelsinger back in early December, I think it was. And Lip-Bu-Tan is primarily a VC guy. That's his main occupation. And he's funded his company Walden has funded companies like Annapurna, Nuvia. You probably know from the Apple thing, Qualcomm.
Yeah, Annapurna is also quite well known.
And he was CEO of a company called Cadence Design System that does electronic design automation, which is tools to design chips. And he did that for like 7 or 8 years. So I know who he is. I think I've met him once, but I was a competitor of his. And the company he took over was Cadence was in really bad shape. And within 3 or 4 years, the company really turned around and started executing much better. So I have to give credit to him. He was the one that became CEO and hired all the new leadership. So my experience with him is that he did a great job at that company. It was a pretty difficult situation, and he got him turned around. I have no idea what he's going to do at Intel, but their biggest problem is a financial problem. They don't have enough money to fund the fab development that they need to do, and they're not generating enough profits from their products to be able to fund them.
You think their biggest problem is financial or their biggest problem is organizational?
It's financial right now.
Okay.
The organizational problem, he'll solve. Lip-Bu Tan will solve the organizational problem. That's the one thing he's good at. He doesn't suffer fools. And if there are people that are impeding progress in any way, he'll just get rid of them. And Intel probably has a lot of that. They have a lot of ingrained people in there that are not very motivated to think in new ways.
Don't rock the boat,
You
just
know,
keep on going, kind of thing.
and every new manufacturing plant that a company like Intel builds costs on the order of $10 billion. And typically, like TSMC probably spends $30 to $40 billion a year on CapEx, meaning that's buying stuff. Everything except salaries, basically. Two fabs would easily chew up $20 billion in CapEx, in addition to the CapEx that you have to spend on existing fabs to keep them running every day. So there's
I
just
mean,
tens of billions of dollars that they need.
yeah, but I mean, Intel is a big enough company that I mean, they anyway probably wouldn't finance that for themselves.
No. Of course, you don't take it out of your bank account, all of it anyway. But you have to be generating enough profit and sitting on enough cash and assets in order to
So
borrow the
that,
money
yeah,
from
where
a
it's gonna
bond
be
or
too
something.
expensive to borrow, basically.
Right,
Yeah.
right.
No, it's like, I mean, it's gonna, what's interesting is, I mean, he was part of the board when they ousted the previous guy. And I'm kind of I'm kind of questioning what signal does that send?
Well, he was a board member for about 2 years, and he left last summer because they were having sort of making strategic decisions, and he didn't agree with some of the strategic decisions, so he left the board. And then a couple of months later, Gelsinger got fired.
Yeah, more or less right after. I think he was already on the way out at that point almost. Yeah. No, but it's like, I mean, the question is always, as I said, what signal does that send? A person that was on the board before through some bad years and left right before and is now coming back. Like, what's the signal they're trying? I mean, either what's the signal they're trying to send or what's the signal you can see like behind? And I think one thing is, I don't know if they were able to find someone else.
I think that's a big factor. I don't think many people were signing up to take this job. And keep in mind, Lip-Bu Tan was only on the board for a couple of years. He wasn't one
Yeah,
of
but
those long-term
still, I mean, board
He
members
was
have a
brought,
lot of influence.
but he was the board member, one of the board members that was brought in because they were getting beat up about having a really bad board. He came in and basically his opinion was the existing board and CEO didn't know the right way to fix the company. So he left. He tried for 2 years and he left. But I guess I would just put my money on. I don't know where it's going to end up. Intel's not going away. Their technology is still pretty good. It's a lot better. From a technology point of view, they're doing better. It's manufacturing technology. It's their products that they've had a hard time with. The processors just aren't keeping up.
And I mean, I mean, as we talked about before, there's two ways this can go. I mean, the company might just implode. Like someone else comes around. I mean, kind of TSMC and a bunch of others already did that, but someone else might come around and basically take the rest.
that might happen.
That's one way this could go. Or the other way is because of the constraints they now have, and because they literally have to innovate out of a corner, themselves out of a corner, they're going to come up with something really cool.
Right.
Like, I mean, they have the, I hope at least, I don't know enough about the company, but I would hope they still have the people that did some really cool things in the past. Or they might attract the people who could do something really cool in the past. I think they still have that. So it's not impossible. Is it enough, and is it fast enough? That's the question.
Right, who knows? Yeah. What does the world look like if Intel continues to struggle? You know, you have kind of two platforms in PCs. You have Apple and Windows.
Yeah.
And ARM is... People are trying to make ARM processors for Windows.
Yeah, it's already happening. I mean, I think that's going to be the hard trend for Intel to counter, because even Microsoft has realized that this isn't working anymore. If it wasn't for the legacy stuff they have and that a lot of companies rely on, I think it would have already imploded.
Right, and the data center stuff, everybody's creating custom processors for their data centers and
the AMD chips are just so much more efficient and better. This fact.
I mean, today I just saw that Framework, you know, that company make immersive laptops, they're releasing a desktop, which normally said they wouldn't do, but this thing's got the Ryzen AI Max CPU in it, which is one of the latest, highest performing. And one thing they were demonstrating on there, the thing you can do with it, you can make a cluster out of these little, they're a 4.5 liter kind of size micro ATX base unit. So you can literally build a stack of five of them, chain them together, and you can start mining, you can start doing AI work with it. That's really attractive and relatively cheap. Well, I don't know how much they're going to be. I was just having a look at the website for pricing, but it looks fantastic.
Probably not a lot. I mean, Framework is actually quite... relatively cheap, and as I said, that's the other thing. The AMD chips are even cheaper. So
cheaper.
I mean,
they're cheaper. They're better. Thing. They're more efficient.
Mm. It's all of it.
More reliable sometimes. Like it's really, that's gonna be the problem. Like I'm pretty sure. I mean, Microsoft is already pushing in that direction, and they're gonna go ARM.
So between AMD and ARM. You know, and the other thing that keeps Intel around is the contracts they have with PC makers like HP and Dell and Lenovo and stuff.
Yeah, but if Microsoft does it,
contracts eventually run out.
Yeah, and if Microsoft switches over and basically says, it's Microsoft. They're still going to support Intel for the next 17,000 years, but it's going to be very clear, we're supporting it. We're not doing anything with it anymore.
I mean, the entry level one of those PCs, those framework machines, is 1500, but you're getting like 64 gig of RAM, 16 cores, 32 threads, 40 graphics cores.
That is pretty massive.
It's crazy. It's a crazy machine to get for the
Intel.
And that's
I bought a Core i5 gig model, and I paid probably about that one. Not quite, almost. So,
I am really interested in getting one of their laptops at some point.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think that's going to be, I mean, the mobile market, they seem to have lost already. And the desktop market, I think, the desktop market is going away a little bit. It's getting more and more towards mobile, even if mobile just means laptops. But it's also like, I mean, there's going to be demand for desktops probably for a long time, but it's not a big market anymore.
Right. Yeah, so they do very well in the markets that are not growing.
Yeah, great, awesome. No, but I mean, and even there, they have competition. Like, that's the problem. Yeah, they have competition from AMD. They have competition from the ARM side of things. So, Apple. Yeah, it's true. Maybe not the biggest competition, but it is competition, and Apple has been eating their lunch here and there. Mm. Like, really getting bigger companies to switch. Invest, which is a harder sell, but they did do it. It's gonna be interesting. But I'm interested to see what happens. I'm not sure how optimistic I am, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, I mostly picked a story to save you from having to do work on scoring our predictions.
Thank you. Thank you. I already scored it. Which one do I take? Should we do health tech? Let's talk about the UK and mobile browsers. So
Oh yes.
interesting thing that is happening. So the UK has launched a competition probe.
Ooh.
Whatever agency that is, you probably know better, Ian.
That's the the Competition Commission people, whatever they're called.
Okay. You
Competition
also don't know.
Authority.
Good.
No, I don't. I can't remember the name of it.
Good. Then it's not
It's
just
another
me.
one of these stupid things I can never remember the
Yeah,
name of.
CMA.
It's the
Oh, the
Competition and
CMA.
Markets or the Competition and Markets Authority. It says a little
Oh.
bit further down the article.
Okay, good.
So
So
those guys.
yeah, so they invested they la had already launched a investigation of Apple's and Google's mobile browsers. They have concluded so far that the mobile duopoly that they call it is holding back innovation. And they're saying mobile browsers are apps which provide the primary gateway for consumers to access the web on their mobile devices, and hence for businesses to reach them with their content and products. And the issue we have identified mean that consumers could be missing out on new features when using mobile browsers, and businesses are limited to ability and blah, 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 and so on. There's a 611-page final decision report published on Wednesday, so yesterday. If you want to
Pages.
read that, wow, you got a lot of time. Maybe some AI can summarize it for me in like six bullet points, please. But what for me is interesting is I kind of agree. It sounds crazy, but I really kind of agree. And I'm not
No.
talking about Apple especially. I think mostly actually I'm talking about Google, and that's why I brought it today. Apple's probably, I mean, it is, I think it is a problem. Having only two options to choose from, and
Yeah.
they're both one kind of in bed with each other. I mean, we have the whole thing that's happening in the US with Google and Chrome and the search engine and all of that.
News Corp start. I mean, the other Corp parallel browser story today is News Corp pursuing Brave, which is another of the alternatives. One thing about the browser market that's kind of a bit more sort of insidious is practically every browser on the market this side of Firefox is based on Chromium.
Yeah, more or
They're
less.
all
With I mean,
regardless of
you
that,
could
the
say all of
innovation.
them are WebKit
And
based.
all of the, and all of the ones and then all the ones on I mean is Safari's backend WebKit still?
Yes. It's
So
still
that's still
WebKit.
when
Google forked it off like many years ago. It used to be WebKit, I mean, or originally KHTML and all of that. But like, no, I mean, I think there is a point here. I mean, the browser
and Firefox is
is.
the other and Firefox is the only other one with their own
Yes.
engine with the Mozilla whatever the Gecko engine.
Yeah, but it's, I mean, if you look at the market, yes, there is alternatives.
Yeah.
But they're having a hard time competing against the big two because those are the default browsers. I mean, the EU is trying to force that to change that a little bit on iPhone with the DMA, and probably also going to do the same thing for Google. But at the end of the day, a lot of people seem to choose Google because they know Google.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People use Google because they know Google. People also. What do they know? Oh, they know the Chrome icon, so they click on that if
Yeah.
they've got an
Oh, the
Android
internet is
phone.
gone.
It doesn't look for anything else, it does what I need it to do.
Yes.
The other and if you've got an iPhone, Safari's there, I click on that, and that's it, I'm
Yes.
done. On a mobile device, on a computer, again, it's much the same nowadays. I mean, to be fair, Edge appears on every Windows box and people will click on that. In the same it's only the same story we talked about five, 10 years ago when we talk about Internet Explorer being a
More than 10, I don't know,
Being a
15
dominant
more.
browser purely because it was the one that was on everybody's desktop, so they used it. Because you and I are the different people will experiment, look at other things, and see what else is out there.
Yeah, and
Your
it's
average Joe public consumer won't care. It's
exactly.
just, where do I get to the
But
internet?
this is the competition authority.
Yes.
So their
Yeah, so they're
job or
challenging it.
their point is that it stifles
It stifles
innovation.
competition, which is
And
true. I mean, Google makes their browser mandatory in Android. Apple makes their browser mandatory on, or almost, actually in the UK still mandatory in on iOS devices.
Yeah, I mean,
Microsoft kind of does it.
I sort of agree, but then the question becomes, what am I missing? Because on iOS, you have to have a WebKit-based browser.
Yeah, but that's exactly the point. The man, I mean, if it, I think at least for, I mean, I still think it would be a problem, but if it was, I don't know, you go to the store and you download a browser and it's Safari or it's Chrome.
Right.
Okay, but that the fact that it's either mandated or basically the default and hard to remove because or hard to switch because it
Yeah.
is the default. And it's baked
Yeah.
into basically half of the stuff in the system. It becomes really difficult to argue that and say, I mean, on one hand, yeah, I mean, it offers a good experience. I'm like, yes, I see that. That's probably why people choose it. But it becomes like, you know, a monopoly is also only bad if someone uses it, right?
Yeah.
If you use the advantage you have. And that's, I think, their concern is, okay, I mean, a duopoly can be the same. If the two parties basically either work together in a legal way, because if it's illegal, then we would have a different story. In a legal way, work together, or yeah, simply are okay with the status quo and basically both agree that they're not going to do anything.
Yeah.
And nobody else can compete because those are the owners of the platform. So it's really difficult. I mean, and that is true. It is really difficult on mobile to compete with them.
Yeah, I
I
mean,
said.
in principle, I agree with you. I'm just thinking from a practical value, how am I being as a user being hurt because of this?
Yeah, I mean, their argument. I don't know. I haven't read this 600-page thing, but I'm assuming their argument is simply. Because
Nobody else
you
is
don't
going to
get,
innovate.
because you, I mean, because y for you as a consumer, don't get access to other options, to other features, to innovation that
Yeah.
would happen usually, where someone might do something really cool, but really they never get to that point.
Yeah, I guess you can't know what you don't
Yeah.
know, or you don't give
Yeah.
people an opportunity. So
Yeah. I think
history has
that's,
shown
yeah.
if you allow people to innovate stuff, they come
Yeah.
up with cool
And for the
things.
business side as well, I mean, the businesses basically
Yeah.
also have to play by the rules. Like they
Right.
simply they there's like if you have a business and you need access through one of those browsers, you pretty much make sure that it works there.
Yeah. Yeah, and the whole usability thing, I think we solved that with the Internet Explorer Microsoft lawsuit.
You would think so.
I don't think
You'd
people found it
hope.
that
You'd
I
hope.
don't think people found and actually it was harder to do because you needed a browser to download a new browser. So you had to run IE at least once when you got your new machine to download Chrome or Firefox or whatever you were using on a mobile phone. Or now that we have app stores, it's a lot easier. Once you get on the internet, you can just connect to the store and download whatever browser you want. I don't think people
Yeah,
would have a hard time
but that's
if
ex
their OSs didn't have a browser.
yeah. I mean, that's part of the problem, right? That I mean, you can't in some cases you can't even go anywhere and download it. I mean, so in the EU now, EU is now a little bit different, but the UK, in fact, this is in the UK, so in the UK,
Yeah.
it's still true.
Yeah.
You can't go and download a non-WebKit browser on iOS.
Right.
And I'm
Yeah,
sh
iOS,
and
regardless of whatever it says on the tin, it's still a WebKit backend,
And
regardless of what you do.
Google
But I
also
mean that,
tries to do that, from what I know, a little
right.
bit. They're maybe a little bit less inclined to enforce things, but they're also subtly trying to push and say, hey, like manufacturers, if you want this, then you should install Chrome, basically. If you want Gmail,
And
you have to have Chrome, right?
I think
Yeah.
even the most casual user of a mobile phone could, if somebody told them, when you get a new phone, it won't have a browser on it, you have to go to their app store and pick a browser. Most
Yeah,
people can figure that out.
or do the thing that was done in EU and that I mean back in the day,
Just check a box.
yeah, like for what Microsoft had to do in the EU.
Yeah, right. They
Show
did.
a list and say, here are browsers, which one do you want? And if they pick
Right.
Safari and whatever, or pick Chrome, or pick one other, but it makes it easier for others to compete on the same level. Say, okay, hey, yeah, they might still not choose me, but at least I have a chance. And if I can convince enough users to use it, then I have a business.
Right.
As I said, it's just an interesting way of looking at it. As I said, I'm starting to be concerned about this duopoly, to be honest.
Yeah. And how hard would it be to, or what is the problem with using a non-WebKit browser on iOS?
Technically, none.
Yeah.
Well, that's not true. There were some problems. There used to be some problems. Is that the DMA in Europe has basically solved that. You can now do it. There are still some limitations that I think even the EU has accepted, where they're saying, okay, if you have a PWA, so Progressive Web App, that's kind of, yeah, that's because it kind of an embedded browser that behaves almost like an app. They're like, okay, that is from a security standpoint, a little bit tougher to do.
And isn't that one of the reasons Apple kind of limits to WebKit, because they don't really want
that's what the argument is. But then then you look at it and
that's
you
what they say.
Yeah. That's what they say. I mean, it's fine on. I mean, it's not the Mac show, but it's like it's fine on the Mac. So like, I don't know what the problem is. There's ways to solve that. But I mean, there's arguments to be made for sure against that. But I think at the end of the day, what is better for us? And I think a little bit more competition, probably not a bad thing.
I'd give up a little reliability or security to get more competition,
Or maybe more security, because all of a sudden now you can download a browser that is super, super secure. Why not?
I mean, there are a load of sort of...
Yeah, and there are good browsers out there. This is not. It's not that there are no browsers. They're not on mobile. It's less likely. Less so. I mean, but then you go to the browser share page and you look at it, and it's like Chrome has like 60-something% global market share right now.
Right.
Yeah, which is also not a good thing. All right. We should probably move on, talk about cool things, and talk about one special cool thing, and that is our chat. We have a really cool live chat. When we record this show, live.britishtechnetwork.com, you go there. We record this very show every Thursday at 7 p.m. UK time. Right now, we're in the weird time of the year again. It happens twice a year for a couple of weeks. US has already switched to daylight savings. Europe is about 3 weeks behind now.
Yeah.
So we're going to do it on the, what was it, 31st, I think?
Yeah, end of the month.
Something like that. End of the month. It's always end of the month. Yeah, so whatever time zone you are in, you have to do the math yourself. 7 p.m. UK time is always the same time. It just might change sometimes when that is for you. And yeah, there's a live stream. There's a live chat next to it. And you just start typing. It's that easy. So this little, it generates really funny names, like an inspiring, what? Heyrovsky? I'm like, okay, funny. Sleepy Newman, we get and stuff like that. Funny names. If you want to change it, just click on the purple thing up top, the little drop down, say change name, and you can pick your own name. And that's how easy it is. And if you are, or and, but, whatever, however, if you are, if you're listening to this in the recorded form and you're like, live chat, don't want to, or too late, or whatever, and you want to get to the stories, you want to get to the links to the cool things that are coming up, you just want to see what we talked about in the chat, head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat. That's it. And then the calendar that pops up, you tell it a date, you click on a date, and if you click, tap, whatever, and you click on that date for today, which would be Thursday, March 13th, wow.
13th?
That is funny. No, Thursday, March 13th, 2025. You will see everything that we talked about in the chat today. Wow.
Also known as Pi Day Eve.
Pi Day Eve. Oh, that's funny. Okay, good. Ian's cool thing, he's really fast. So let's talk about that.
That's just it's a company. My son's heavily into eco-friendly and sustainable purchases. It stemmed from one of our wonders. We were talking pre-show about tariffs and things, and whether this would mean the death or the reduction in cheap and rubbish and fast fashion and all that kind of rubbish. This is a company that doesn't do fast fashion. This is a company that have a factory. They have a factory in India, which they solar power. The garment workers get a fair trade. They get a fair wage. They get tips for building. They get tips for making the product. They only manufacture small quantities. So they manufacture 1,000 of a particular style of garment that gets shipped over to Bristol, where they're based. You can buy you buy mail order and purchase. They make some nice stuff. I got a hoodie for him for his birthday, and it's nice. It's very nice stuff, and it's at least not contributing to, and hopefully better quality, because it's good quality Indian cotton and everything else. So it's a good thing. I like the idea very much. It's all fair trade produce, premium quality gear, and it's
Very
not too
nice.
expensive, in all honesty.
Yeah.
Not too expensive, and they
The
do small
prices are
runs of
pretty
stuff.
good, yeah.
Yeah. I really like that. I also like the name. Yes, friends.
Yes, friends, exactly. So yeah, they're a nice little company. I'm going to
Gotcha.
probably buy something from them at some point.
Since we
I'm a
talked
fiend
about
for.
fast fashion earlier.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah, their hoodies are only $40
Hope they're
plus
good.
shipping. It's
Sorry.
100% cotton, I think. Question is how much it would cost to get you to your side of the pond.
Yeah, it kind of adds about 25%.
Another four, yeah, 25% tariff and then another 40%, right?
Yes.
I haven't heard about the hoodie tariff. Is there a hoodie tariff?
Yeah. Don't say it too loud. Now you're gonna get one.
Only if it's from Canada or Mexico.
Someone heard it on the internet, so must be true, right? Cool.
Lord.
Good, cool thing. I'll check that out later because I need time to check out all the nice hoodies and tops and whatever they have.
They have all sorts of good stuff.
I
Yeah,
saw
they
some
do.
stuff and like, cool.
T-shirts, my son said, are really good. The standard round neck white tees, they said they're really good for, really, it's nicer quality.
Very cool. So, Tom, your cool thing then.
My cool thing is kind of the last of my streaming show recommendations from when I was laid up and watching a lot of TV for the last 3 or 4 weeks. It's a Netflix. It's now on Netflix. It's called Attack on Pearl Harbor, minute by minute.
Okay.
And so, if you're kind of into war history, it's interesting. And I've read a million things about Pearl Harbor, his history books and other documentaries. So I wouldn't say there was a ton of sort of new information, but they put it into context of sort of a timeline for both the American and the Japanese side. They had, but the best part is the archive film that they have, a lot from Japan, which I had never seen before. I'm sure it's been around, but showing film from Japan of the soldiers getting prepared and views of the attack from the Japanese ships and planes. So that's one thing that was very interesting. And the other interesting thing was they interviewed people, men who were stationed on Pearl Harbor at the time during the attack. And I think this was released a couple of years ago, and there were like two or three guys, and they're in their hundreds, 99, 100 years old. And I think it's always interesting to hear the perspective of a person that was right in the middle of something like this. But I mostly appreciate the archival footage, and I think the history was pretty good. And it's not a military tactical kind of
Oh,
documentary. It
that's
was
good. Yeah, so
more
it's about
about
it for historians or people interested in history.
A little bit behind, why did they do this, and what happened to the people that were living in on Hawaii during the Honolulu during the attack, and what was the motivation of the Japanese people? Still was an evil attack, my perspective, but
yeah,
it's always good to
sure.
understand where the motivation comes from.
If you want
I mean, war is
something
evil.
about,
Like, it doesn't matter which side.
Yeah, all
if
war is
you,
pretty evil, yeah.
But war is pretty evil. If you've got the time to have a listen, Hardcore History, Dan Carlin. I've recommended a few times over here. And he did a thing called Supernova in the East. I'll see if I can't find a link to it. Superb long form study of everything that happened and kind of timeline and pulling together four or five different books, different sources to kind of get one big picture. And that's really fascinating stuff, which I have found a link for. And there's
Okay,
no going it in the good
link
old
will be in the
chat.
chat, as always. So, I got my cool thing. It's this thing here. It's a light. It's the Elgon. This is the lowest setting, by the way. It's
Is
like
it?
I
Oh,
turned
okay.
it down actually for this, so it doesn't blind everybody. This is the Elgato key light. So the cat, I know Elgato, right? And the key light mini from Elgato. It's a battery powered mini, like Caro light or key light. So I bought it because, you know, I'm doing podcasts when I'm traveling, and yes, I like the queen look like last time, but it's actually would be better with an iPhone light.
The
The
sepia look,
sepia, the
yeah, the
sepia
sepia
look,
look
yeah.
because of the lighting in the hotel room. No, this is pretty. I mean, this is pretty nice. I have to figure out how to attach it, like what I'll take with me to attach it. Like, I have a couple options. So as I said, it's battery powered. It has Wi-Fi built in, so you can connect it to your phone, for example, or to your Wi-Fi and control it remotely even, which is really nice. Yeah, it has like different color temperatures you can switch between, different brightness levels. Yeah,
What are the
pretty big.
mounting options?
It has like the typical, I don't know if you can see that, the typical thread mount. So
Oh yeah, okay.
anything you want, you can basically thread mount it, and it's magnetic. So if you have like something to
Oh.
attach it to, it's also
Oh
magnetic.
yeah.
You can attach to that. So it's actually, as I said, and it's not super expensive. It's like $60, I think. So it's not for that. I mean, there's probably the white box brand cheap options, but this is a nice German company. So I mean, probably
Especially
also
for
produced in China.
traveling.
Yeah, but it's exactly. I
Oh.
mean, they have a bigger version if you want the proper like for your studio, whatever. They have bigger key lights, called a key light then. They have, I mean, Elgato has a lot of studio products these days because they're in the gaming and streaming side. So cameras and lights and all of
Right.
that. I said, and I really said I needed something for travel. And this is, I mean, this is like size of, what size would that be? It's not a deck of cards, a little bit bigger than that. So
It's
hard
like
to say. iPhone
a
almost.
Kindle
Kindle
maybe.
maybe. Yeah, it's, I mean, it's almost, if you look at it, it's almost like iPhone sized. Like big
Oh
Pro,
yeah,
I have a
it
Pro Max and it's a little bit longer and but the light is a little bit wider, but like more or less iPhone sized. So fits probably in a lot of pockets if you have them. At least in your backpack, you can probably put that in there. So yeah, that's it. And battery should last, I think, like 2 or 3 hours. You can there's a USB-C port if you want to just plug it in, which I'm gonna do. The only stupid thing is, well, stupid-ish, it comes with a cable and there's
Yeah.
USB-C, like a USB-C to USB-A cable. I'm like, who ships that these days? Like, why do you need a USB-A cable? And now I need a USB-C cable because, well, actually, I have a billion of them, so I don't care. But yeah,
That's kind
okay,
of
I don't
funny.
know why it doesn't have USB-C. Yeah, all LEDs, as at different color temperatures and all of that. So nice little
So
product.
you should only buy Elgato products in the city of Los Gatos.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Otherwise, it's forbidden.
They have an office here in California. I wonder
Yeah, I know.
Los Gatos.
Well, might be. Yeah, but they are, I think, aren't they in Munich or something?
Yeah, they're in Germany.
Yeah, something like that. I remember meeting them many years ago, like long, long time ago. Yeah, so that is my cool thing.
Oh, I have to mention one thing. Project Hail Mary.
Ah, oh, yes.
I'm
Good book.
five, six chapters in. I'm listening to
Yes.
it on Audible. My God, it's amazing. That's such a cool thing. A colleague
Yes.
recommended it. I
Andy
think you
Weir.
recommended to me, and
Yes.
I
Long
educate.
time
And
ago.
yeah, and I'm now I'm now busily devouring it as I walk, as I go on my
Nice.
lunchtime walks. It's
Yeah,
excellent.
it's really good.
Lots of
Starts
very, very cool science.
slow and then science. Like, I mean, that's his thing. I mean, Andy Weir was also The Martian, so which is
Yeah, I
also a way better book than the movie was. And the movie wasn't bad,
Okay.
but the
I
book
might
was
have a
even
look.
better.
No, I've been enjoying that. I'm enjoying that
Yes. Yeah,
immensely.
I just
Not to
checked.
mention.
December 2, 2021 is when I picked
Oh
it, of
yeah, I
course.
knew you recommended it, and then I kind
It's
of went,
been
"Oh
a
yeah, that
long
sounds
time.
good." But yeah, no, I
Yes,
got
highly
a colleague
recommended.
recommended it and said, "You need to listen to this." I had to start listening to it again. She read it once and had to start it again.
Yeah, exactly. I do actually. I go back to that every now and then. It's actually a really good book. Good. Speaking of good things, all good things come to an end, and so does this show. Haha. Now I got one. We have a show title. I don't know. We might have done that. Yes. Thanks everybody for being here and suffering through me and my brain going in random directions. Let's start with Ian. Let's go the other way around. And thank you for being
Me?
here. Let everybody know where they can find out more about you.
They can find more about me on LinkedIn. My name's Ian Grant and I work for Veeam. You can find me on LinkedIn. I'm getting better remembering where that is now. And otherwise, you'll see me here on a Thursday night talking about tech, occasionally on a Friday talking about Macs. And also, I can be found in the Slack room occasionally contributing to conversations over there, our BTN Slack. So those are the places you can find me.
Very cool. How about you, Tom? Thanks for being here, for representing
California.
California at least.
The Great
The
Republic of California.
exactly, the great, very sunny, hopefully, Republic of California. Where can people find out more about you?
People can find me on Mastodon. I am Tom F at a great Mastodon instance, sfba.social.
It is actually a pretty great instance, I have to say. It's how I started on Mastodon with SFBA, thanks to you.
Before you started your own, you did that?
Before I
Oh,
did
I
my
guess
own,
so.
yes.
Yeah, just the other day, I had to go through my followers list and disconnect your old account.
Yeah, still there. Still there. Good. That leaves me, I think, in British Tech Network. So me every week here on the Big Show and the Mac Show. So tomorrow we're gonna talk about Apple things happening, what's going on. There's been some announcement and some stuff, or some rumors, things we should talk about. Other than that, everything I'm doing, thepatrice.com, it's my website. You will find all the social media links, the podcasts, projects, and just everything. And with Jeff, and if I'm not so late editing half of the time, then it would be a little bit more regular, but I try to do it every week at least. Retro Rewatch, really cool podcast. We rewatched Stargate SG-1. We just posted, I think, was it? Which one was it now? See? I've already forgotten again. Thor's Chariot, Message in a Bottle, that one. We just posted earlier in the week Message in a Bottle. Really cool, very interesting approach to what's going on. And the next one will be Family. So stuff is happening in the Chulakverse, and a family will get to experience that. And we, of course, did a podcast, Jeff and I. So yeah, there's that. British Tech Network, we
Excellent.
have also on Mastodon, British Tech at British Tech at techhangout.social, and also on Blue Sky at BritishTechNetwork.com. Very easy. Yeah, and with that, thank you so much for listening. Have a great week. Have a great rest of the week. Have a great week until next time. I don't know what I'm saying, but I'm just gonna say thank you. Goodbye.